Happy Palm Sunday, everybody. Where's your palm branches? Right here? Yeah. Woo! Yeah, I got a palm tree shirt. I don't see any other palm tree shirts. Come on, guys. Oh, thank you, Jesus. We've had some beautiful weather. I'm excited for spring. Yes, Lord, we can do this. Turn your Bibles to Matthew 21, if you have it. Hopefully some of you have a paper one. I'm going to be skipping, yeah, there you go. I'm going to skip a bunch of slides after this. Matthew 21, 1 through 7 says, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. As I jump into the message this morning, during worship, we all kind of have this traditional image of the triumphal entry and Palm Sunday. You know, I just picture this path of people, you know, kind of like we do a blessing tunnel, a fire tunnel, and they lay down their palm branches and lay down their cloaks and, you know, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, and all this commotion, and Jesus just riding down this path of people and towards Jerusalem. But during worship, I saw that scene, but I saw Jesus grab the reins of this donkey. And he pulled it outside the lines of people. And he said, excuse me, excuse me. And everyone was expecting he was going to go down this row of people. But he turned and went out because there was somebody way off in the distance that didn't think that he saw, that didn't think that he cared. And he saw them. And that's you. That's me. And I was reminded of this scripture. Behold your king. He's not coming by you. He's not coming past you. He's not coming near you. Behold, your king is coming to you. So as I preach this message this morning, that's a word from the Lord and a truth. That the Lord's not coming by you, he's coming to you. The whole point of this was for you. God has everything he wants except you and me, our hearts, this world. He has everything else. He can make anything else he wants. He can win everything in a heartbeat. He wants you and he's coming to you. Amen? That's good news this morning. Palm Sunday begins the Passion Week, and in the calendar of the Jews, this is a very busy week. There's several holidays and feasts and a lot of things going on. We all know very famous Passover begins at sundown on the 14th of Nisan, which is the first month of the Jewish calendar. And then the very next day, actually, the sheep, the lambs, were supposed to be slaughtered right before the sunset on the 14th. And then as soon as the sun, they slaughtered them and the sun set, then they roasted them and they had a feast and they ate the lambs together. And then literally when the sun went down, started the 15th of Nisan, which was the first day of unleavened bread. And that was a holy day of the Lord. And then they ate unleavened bread for a whole week. And in the middle of that, there was another feast that we're going to talk about next week. And it's very significant. But there's all these feasts going on. And Jesus is coming into this scene where, you know, all the Jews are coming into Jerusalem. And it's crowded and it's packed. And they're all there to do all these things. One of the things that the Jews were commanded to do was to remove all the leaven out of their house. And in Scripture, it says that on the first day of unleavened bread, they were supposed to take all the leaven out of their house. But traditionally, the Jews, even today, will do that before Passover starts, so that at sundown, they make sure there is not a speck of leaven in my house. And Passover day, on the 14th, they're preparing for the feast and the lamb and neighbors and friends and family and, you know, big gatherings and getting their house ready and basically preparing for a party. So the days leading up to Passover, there's some major house cleaning going on. And leaven represents sin, as we know in Scripture. And so they're cleaning their house of leaven. They're getting their lambs ready. There's a lot going on in this season. Jesus said, I only do the things that I see my Father doing, and I only say the things that I hear my Father saying. So Jesus here commanded his disciples, go get me a donkey. So obviously the Father either showed him that or told him, I want you today, this day, to get on a donkey and ride into Jerusalem. There was a reason for that. Why a donkey and why that day? We're going to look at some of those reasons here, but it was clearly the Father that wanted it to be done. We read the scripture, Zechariah 9:9. But Christ was claiming his rightful place as the prophesied Messiah. That was one thing that he was doing through that deed of getting on the donkey. And here's what the Old Testament, Zechariah 9:9 says. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. So as Jesus is doing this prophetic act and this fulfillment of getting on this donkey and riding into Jerusalem, the Jews would understand what was going on, that he's proclaiming himself the king, that he's inaugurating a day where you don't have to fight anymore, there won't be war anymore, and that his kingdom was coming and that Jesus was going to rule and reign, and because of the blood of the covenant, he would set prisoners free from the pit that they found themselves in. That's amazing news. All just getting on a donkey and riding into the city. It's amazing. Every Jew would have known this prophecy. It's why the crowds were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And that is a quotation from the end of Psalm 118. It's the great Hallel. And the Hallel was a group of psalms that at every feast the Jews would sing. So if there was ever a scripture that the Jewish people knew by heart, it would be Psalm 118. You can read it on your own. It's a messianic psalm, and it's talking about binding the sacrifice to the altar, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice in that day that the sacrifice gets bound to the altar, and it has Hosanna in it. So these people, they were cutting down the palm branches and laying their cloaks down. They were recognizing what was happening. They were saying, you are this man. You are the fulfillment of these scriptures. You are the King and Messiah who's to come. So Jesus rode on a donkey to symbolize that he was the King of Peace, that he was the King of Peace, that he was the true Messiah. In the ancient Middle Eastern world, leaders would ride on horses when they were going to war or coming back from war, if they were coming to conquer you, they would be on a big white horse. But if they were coming in peace, they'd be on a mule or a donkey. And there are several scriptures in the Bible of people riding on donkeys. One of them famously is 1 Kings 1:32. And I think I have that up there. This is David. King David is old and he's dying and he is making Solomon king. And King David said, "Call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." So they came before the king, and the king said to them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my mule, and bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet there anoint him king over Israel. Then blow the trumpet and say, 'Long live King Solomon.' You shall then come up after him, and you shall come and sit on my throne." Sorry, "He shall come and sit on my throne, for he shall be king in my place, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah." This would be another well-known story to the Jews of David saying, "This is the king." David had so many sons. Solomon was probably like 15th in line, age-wise. David had a ton of kids, and nobody knew which one of David's kids is going to be king. But David says, "I want this one to be king." And he showed it by marching Solomon on his own mule into the city. And the people knew, aha, this is the one who is the king. Solomon comes from the word shalom, shalomon, which means peace. So Shalomon was the king of peace, a man of peace, ruling over Jerusalem, the city of peace. The man of peace ruling over the city of peace. How did he come into the city? How did he get inaugurated? He got sent on a donkey. This is what it says God said to David about Solomon. This is 1 Chronicles 22:9. "Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name. He will be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever." A dual prophetic fulfillment of Jesus coming into Jerusalem on the donkey was also saying, "I am the King of Peace. I am the builder of the house of the Lord. I am coming in and my throne will live forever and ever." And it says that Solomon gave Israel rest all his days. There was no war in the years of Solomon. When you let the King of Peace come to you and you receive him, he gives you rest. He gives you peace from your striving, from your fighting, from your warring. He's the King of Peace. God the Father was proclaiming to Israel on Palm Sunday, "This is the new Solomon. He is the true King of Peace. He is the one who will build my house." The very same day, Matthew says, once Jesus got into Jerusalem on the donkey, he got off and went straight into where? His father's house, the temple. And what did he do? He turned over the money-changing tables. And he cleansed the temple. This was the week that everyone was pulling this stuff out of their homes and sweeping their houses clean and trying to make sure they got every speck of leaven out. And Jesus is here this very week doing the exact same thing, cleaning his father's house of leaven, of sin. He cleansed the temple. It says this, Matthew 21:12, Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." He came not only to build God's house, but to cleanse God's house. There's some other stories of donkeys in the Bible. There's a couple famous ones where some emissaries, some folks sent a bunch of gifts, some donkeys loaded with gifts, to make peace with somebody who was possibly angry or at war. So there was an appeasement made in these couple stories. One of those stories is Jacob. When Jacob came back from living up with his uncle Laban and, you know, ended up with four wives, and he came back, and the whole reason he fled in the first place was because he was afraid that his brother was going to kill him, that Esau was going to kill him because he stole the birthright from him. And so Jacob's really afraid and really freaked out and really nervous. And he sends his first wives and kids with a bunch of gifts. Then he sends second wave of wives and kids and third and fourth. And he spent the night and wrestled with God all night long. And then he finally came. But one of the things that he did, this is in Genesis 33, is he loaded up donkeys with gifts and treasures to send to his brother as a gift of appeasement to make peace. The same thing happened with Abigail and her husband Nabal. When David, before he was king, David helped Abigail, and her husband Nabal was not a righteous man. And Nabal refused to help David. And David said, "After all I did for this man," and he was going to kill him. And Abigail discerned this, and so she packed up a bunch of food and a bunch of gifts on donkeys, and she sent these gifts to David to appease the wrath of David, to make peace with David and say, "Please, don't make war with Nabal. He's a bad man, but please don't make war." So we see this pattern in Scripture of gifts being loaded onto a donkey and sent to another party in order to make peace. And this is another prophetic picture of what Jesus did for us, is that he was a gift of appeasement to us because we were at war with God. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But there's something I think that's incredibly amazing about the timing of Palm Sunday. Why did Jesus ride on the donkey that particular day? He rode on the donkey that day, and then the next day he went back to the Mount of Olives, and then he walked back to Jerusalem, and then walked back to the Mount of Olives. He actually, for 3 days in a row, he walked back and forth from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem and taught. And that happened for the next 3 days after that until the Passover when he got betrayed at the Last Supper. But one day, he came in on a donkey. The timing of it, I think, is amazing. There's a story in the Bible that involves a donkey. It involves 4 days, same kind of timing, and a sacrifice. I skipped this scripture for the sake of time, but in Exodus chapter 12, it says this in verse 1, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, 'This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation.'" So when is Passover? Starts on the 14th, right before the sun sets. Then right as soon as the sun sets, it's the 15th, which is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they actually eat it on the 15th and kill the lamb on the 14th because a Jewish day starts right at sunset.
right at sunset.
So Passover begins. They slaughter the lamb on the twilight, just before the sun goes down, on the 14th. But it says, tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. Take it from the sheep or the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. So the Lord commanded on the 10th day of the month, 4 days before the Passover, that they were supposed to choose their lambs for sacrifice that day. So the 10th day coincides with Palm Sunday. So as all the Jews are coming in from outside of Jerusalem, maybe some of them are buying the lambs in Bethlehem because that's where they raised all the lambs that were used in the temple sacrifice in the area of Bethlehem. So some of them maybe bought their lambs in Bethlehem and are walking with their lambs while Jesus is coming on the donkey into Jerusalem as well. And some of the Jews are in Jerusalem and they're picking out their lambs for sacrifice. And here comes Jesus riding on a donkey coming into Israel on that very day. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. So here's the other story that involves a donkey and a sacrifice. In 4 days. It's in Genesis 22. It says this. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah. This is Jerusalem. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. So when did God tell Abraham to kill his son, to take his son on day one? Then the next day, they actually got on a donkey. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him on the third day. 3 days after God says to kill your son, offer your son. So the day God spoke, and then 3 days later, 4 days. 4 days. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. The most famous donkey story for us is the triumphal entry, but one of the most famous for the Jews is this story of Abraham bringing his son on a donkey to offer him up in the very place that Jesus died. He said, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. So not only was he going to stab Isaac to death, but he was going to burn him to death. He was going to put him on a pile of wood and roast him like a lamb would be roasted. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself, or God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. So here was a father and a son marching together for 4 days. And the father was going to offer up the son. It's a prophetic picture. When Jesus was riding on that donkey into Jerusalem, the Jews around them would have been reminded of all these stories. And even though we see just Jesus riding on this donkey, for some reason there's another beast there. It says the mother was there with this donkey. This other donkey with nothing, no one's riding on it. In the spirit realm, the Father was walking with his Son towards Jerusalem on that day, on Palm Sunday. The Father was offering Jesus as a gift, a peace offering to us. He was offering the King of Peace to us, a love gift to us. It should actually be the other way around. We should be loading gifts on donkeys and going to God saying, God, please, we want peace with you. But it didn't work that way. He came to us humble as a servant, as a sacrifice, not just the Son, the Father. He came to us. What a King we have. What a King we have. There's no King like that. There's no King that has ever been or ever will be like that. They would offer himself for us. Matthew 21:8. We continue reading on. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. One of the responses of the crowd was to take off their cloaks. They cut down palm branches and were waving at him, and they laid them down in the street for him to walk on. But the other thing they did was took off their own clothes and laid it down at his feet. Clothes in the Bible often represent identity. They often represent identity. And these people, whether they knew it or not, I'm sure some of them did, were saying, whatever I have of me, I lay it down at your feet. We often think of just Jesus dying on the cross to forgive us, but it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that. He died on the cross to save us from our sins, not to give us permission to continue to sin, not to just remove guilt from us so that we can keep on missing the mark. He actually came to set us free from our sins and to grant us righteousness so that we would turn from our sins, that we wouldn't just be a people that are credited with righteousness, but people who actually behave in righteousness. So one of the requirements of receiving Jesus the King is to recognize he is going as a sacrifice. Why is he sacrificing? Not because he needs it, because we need it. We need to know we are forgiven. We need to know. But we also agree we have been wrong. God, we have missed it. We agree with you that who I am, who what I have done, does not match up to who I'm supposed to be and what I'm supposed to do. So it's not just that God erases our sins from us, but that he actually wants to take our old identity and put it into the grave. so that we can pick up a new identity. The Apostle Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He spoke about all the accomplishments that he had in Judaism, all of the accomplishments and accolades that he earned. But he said all these accolades are dung compared to what Jesus grants to me. And often, even our successes, when we hold on to them as an identity, get in the way. They hinder us. Because if I get my identity by pats on the back and accolades from men, what happens when I fail? Who am I then? It's actually bondage. If I hold on to that stuff, it's bondage. It's not necessarily sin, but it's still something that hinders me from being free. So these people took off their cloaks and they laid it down at Jesus' feet. And that's what I want to do this morning. I want to do a prophetic activation. I'm going to read this scripture and then we're going to do this. Revelation 7:9, John looked into heaven. He said, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, who are these clothed in white robes? And from where have they come? I said to him, sir, you know. He didn't know. He didn't know who these people were. With white robes and palm branches in their hands, that were from every tribe and color and language on earth, worshiping. He said, who are these people? Where did they come from? The angel said to him, or one of the elders said to him, these are ones coming out of great tribulation, of great trouble. They've gone through great trouble. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They've washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We take on not just forgiveness, we take on the righteousness of Christ. We take on the righteousness of Christ. Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life. That old self that belongs to your former way of life, it's corrupt. It's corrupt. Paul goes on to say in verse 24, put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's the exchange. That's the exchange. Most of us in this room have probably heard this message before. But amazingly, Paul, in the first part of Romans, was speaking to the church, and he said, I can't wait to come to you to preach the gospel to you. He said to a bunch of Christians, I can't wait to come preach the gospel to you. Why? Because we need to hear this over and over and over. that it's not about what we can do or can't do. It's about taking our old identity, laying it at the feet of the King, allowing him to trample it and take it to the grave with him so that we can take on his new identity. So if I could get the worship team back up here, that would be awesome. I just want you to take a moment. Let's actually stand up. We're going to pray. Just want to ask the Lord this morning. It's possible there's one or two people in here that haven't completely surrendered their life to the Lord. Turn away from your sins. Turn away from your old identity. Turn away from what you think about yourself. Turn to what God thinks about you. But I would be willing to bet, if you're anything like me, you're holding on to something that's hindering you from true freedom and true life. It may be an identity thing. It may be a failure thing. I think in the Lord showing me that picture during worship that there's some of you that still your heart just doesn't believe yet that I am chosen. I'm favored. I really am loved. I really am blessed. God really does see me. So if there's any abandonment in you, if there's any rejection in you, that's a hindrance. It's something that the Lord wants you to lay at his feet so he can rescue you from the waterless pit, so he can grant you the peace that he's always wanted to give you. Jesus is King, but he is only King in our hearts to the extent that we bow to him. Whatever we won't bow, whatever we won't surrender, whatever we're holding on to, whatever we are exalting above what God says is true, Jesus isn't King there. That is the area this morning that Jesus says, excuse me, I have to go there. I have to go there. So I'd like to just line up at the front here. And if there's something that you need to lay down, offer it at the feet of Jesus. Exchange what you're holding on to. Give it to him so that he can give you true peace. Why don't you just come up here and just line up at the front? We're just going to pretend that Jesus is walking right here, trampling all over that old man stuff, trampling all over it and bringing it to death. Yeah, don't be shy. Come on up. If you want to do a prophetic activation, just pretend you're throwing it down. If you want to lay it down, whatever it is, if you haven't fully surrendered your life to the Lord, lay yourself down. Lay yourself down. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are coming to me. Thank you that you are marching to me. Thank you that you're coming to the deepest, darkest places in my heart that are still afraid and still hiding. Thank you that you're walking into those things that cause me shame so that you can take them from me. Just want you to prophetically just lay them at his feet. If you haven't done so already, just take whatever it is that you're carrying off. Take off the old man and lay it down at his feet. Just take a deep breath when you lay it down. Say, I'm free from that. I'm free from that. It's off me. I'm free. Trample it down, Jesus. Trample it down. Jesus clothe you. My wife had a vision one time, or a dream. She was in the front yard of her house where she had experienced some trauma. And Jesus was walking to her with a white robe and sandals. And he came up to her and had a tiny robe that fit her 3-year-old little body. And tiny sandals that fit her 3-year-old little feet. And he put the sandals on her feet and put the robe on her and picked her up and put her on the swing and swung her. Let him clothe you with his rightness. He's got a robe for you. It's been washed in his blood. It's perfect. Can we just lift our hands like palm branches? We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We welcome you as King. We honor you as King. We honor you as King. King Jesus, King of peace. King of peace. King of peace. King of peace. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your peace. Ah. Thank you for your peace. Whoa. Thank you for your peace. See all the white robes? Can you see all the white robes? Thank you. Say, Jesus, I receive your righteousness. Not going to talk about myself any differently than you would talk about me. That's what it means to let him be king. Is he's king of your thoughts. He's king of your opinions. Let him be king. Let him be king. Let him be king. Ha, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ha. How many of you feel better? Raise your hand. Did something fall off of you? Did something come off of you? If you feel lighter, raise your hand. Wave it around like a palm branches. Jesus. 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 Come on. Ah, thank you, Lord. God's good, amen? We're going to have baptisms next Sunday right here in this room. If you haven't been baptized or if God is telling you, I want you to do it again because you really didn't get it. Whatever it is, or if you know somebody that wants to be baptized, please text me.